Season 2, Episode 10, In the Butt, Bob. That is the title. I didn't make it up.
No, I know. It's just the way you said it.
It has one of the worst openings, I think, of this season. Lesniak is coming down the block, and a gentleman asks to get some help with a map, and just exposes his dick to her.
Like everyone should.
Well, no. No, like everyone should
like,
not.
Like Creed Bratton said, what's wrong with hanging a little brain?
But the point is this. But it's also the worst kind of opening because it happens, and then she, like, even the writing where she's like, you show me yours, now I'll show you mine. And he's like, get out of the car.
It's super cheesy and dumb. I agree with you on that.
Like, it's not.
It's written really, really bad. Like, she's not a good actress.
It's,
and she's not around for that long, right?
And, yeah, it seems clear that they don't really know how to use her.
She's only around, I think, until, like, the end of season two. Yeah, she's barely around, so yeah, who cares about her?
Then the DOA that we have, that Simone, Medavoy, and Martinez look into, it looks like a stabbing and strangulation.
Mm-hmm.
And they pull...
But it reminds him of an old case.
Does it remind him of... No, that's from the last episode. This is Webster.
Yeah, he's a recurring... It's an old case that he had before.
Yes, but Webster only did shootings.
I know. Okay.
The reason it reminds him of an old case, it does eventually, but they pull out his calling card, which is a note written out of Webster's third edition.
Yes.
And... From that note, I believe he... I don't know if it's that note or the second note that they find. He cops to a murder that doesn't match his calling card.
Switches.
And he's switching calling cards from shootings to stabbings and strangulations.
Yes.
So there is a point, like just like the cheesy CSI lines, where I think Medavoy is like, do you think this is Webster? And Simone goes, looks like it. And then it kind of like cuts to the music. Very CSI before CSI existed. It also has a weird aerial shot. I don't know if you noticed it. It's like the only time...
Weird because David Caruso is in CSI.
Yeah, he rocks it over there, taking off sunglasses. But, like, I don't know if you remember when they come up to the DOA. It's like at a... I don't know how you would describe it. Like a walk down. I don't know.
It's an apartment. Like, apartments have walk downs, yeah.
And the way that they filmed it, it's, like, very aerial view.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's the only time they've ever done it, at least so far, where, like, it's just straight down. It's almost, like, Kubrick style or something.
It's a crane shot.
And it shows them, like slowly walking down. Like, really cinematic, like, kind of out of nowhere in the middle of this. So we have a possible...
Do you think they use that to, like... suggest this is more than just a murder?
Like, I think so.
This isn't your regular old psycho crackhead murder that most of them are.
Well, it is jarring if, like, you're watching the show like we are, because they've never done it like that, and then all of a sudden, like, that one shot is so prevalent and in your face, you just think, well, okay, this is weird. After that, we have a famous face coming in to the station house. Vinny.
Oh, Joey Pants.
Played by Joey... Was it Joey Pantaleone? I can never say his last name.
Whatever his last name is.
Joey Pants.
Joey Italian guy.
Joey Pants, asshole from The Matrix.
Yeah.
He rolls in, he hits on Donna, and he gives Fancy a little bit of information because Fancy helped him get a shield.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite informants.
Yeah, he's a great informant. He's also immediately untrustworthy. Like, even though...
Yeah. But so's another one that we'll meet later. The dude from The Wire.
Yeah.
He's untrustworthy. I forgot his name, but he works with Medavoy and Martinez mostly. But
yeah,
Didn't
we see him for the robberies? That robbery that was his idea?
Yes, yeah.
Isn't it, like, Richardson or Richards?
Yeah.
Yeah, he comes back, but that's the thing about like informants and these characters is they find a way to immediately make them make you go, oh, I don't know if this guy's even close to trustworthy. Because Fancy, who like owes his job to this guy, is even like, what are you doing here, man? I thought you were in witness protection. What are you doing out of it? Kind of deal.
Yeah, like, why are you back in New York? But I like him because of his rapport with Sipowicz, and he never calls him by his right name. It makes me laugh. It's just super funny.
Yeah, Vinny shows up because he knows about a armored car heist.
Which is kind of weird, like, why would a detective get into that?
Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's also so strange that he, like, tells Fancy, and then Fancy brings in Haverhill because it's a big deal. But, like, why wouldn't Haverhill immediately recategorize it and get it over to someone who should do it?
Who should be dealing with, like, these intense weapons that they're buying, you know what I mean?
Or renting. Yeah, it's not a homicide. It's not a homicide issue. It's a, I don't know what it would be. Illegal guns issue? I'm not sure. But that story works out where Vinny has some dudes that want to buy military hardware. They have Sipowicz pretend to be the military hardware guy to set up a sting on these dudes. But I don't know if you noticed this, and I didn't notice it until I brought it up for this show. One of the gentlemen who plays Alex... There are two dudes that are kind of contacts for this heist, and they're the only guys that have lines in, like, the heist group.
Yeah, the short guy and the tall guy?
Yeah, the tall guy...
One of them has a lisp, and the other one doesn't.
Go ahead. The one that doesn't, the one that I believe in the next episode pulls a gun on Sipowicz, his character's name is Alex?
Yeah.
He's played by Don Swayze?
Yeah.
A brother Swayze? I did not even realize that until I looked up the episode notes.
That's crazy.
It's Don Swayze.
Like, knowing his last name Swayze and looking at his picture, I'm like, okay.
It is. It's a brother Swayze.
And it's like, imagine being him. Like, everyone was bummed when your brother died. No one's gonna really care when you die.
Well, that's not what I thought at all. That's a pretty terrible way to look at it. I was more like... I'm also an actor, but I'm never going to be Ghost, Roadhouse.
We mentioned Roadhouse like it's a good movie. That movie's fucking garbage.
No, Roadhouse is a great movie. You're garbage. Okay, Roadhouse is a fantastic movie.
Garbage.
Point Break, fantastic movie.
I haven't seen Point Break, so I won't comment.
Okay.
Guess
what? It's just as good as Roadhouse. So.
But I like how Vinny... I like the scene where Sipowicz is, like, being... Like, Sipowicz, like... Basically, they get to act while they act. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when he gets to act like a tough guy or a tough-ass guy, it's just funny to me.
And Sipowicz also... Like, that's one of the cool things about Sipowicz's character, is he has a moment to be a character. The character of Sipowicz gets to play this guy, and he does it so well... Because there's that moment where they're in the bar and he's like, look, if this has been a fun conversation, and starts to leave, and then the guys bring him back.
Yeah.
Like, he builes like...
But that also shows how smart he is as a detective, because he knows they want it, so he doesn't need them, they need him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he can threaten to bounce at any time, because they want it, and if they have this connect right here, right now, like... If he leaves, like, they're fucked. Like, they're, like, yeah, anyways.
The continuation of that story is Haverhill tries to get Vinny to get Fancy on tape buying a bogus story so he can get him fired.
But this is where you see Vinny be, like, Vinny immediately admits to it and is, like, I think he really cares for Fancy. And the way he kind of, like... reacted to it showed that he really likes Fancy more. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Also, it shows that Joey Pants is a good actor because he actually played the scene differently.
Yeah.
Like, when he was trying to trick Fancy, you could tell something's going on. Like, he brings him a stupid gift, and, like, he's acting weird, and Fancy, because he's a good detective, figures it out super quick, but Joey Pants, as an actor, is killing
in
that scene.
Because he knows... Because Fancy also knows Vinny, and he knows that Vinny would lead with that.
Mm-hmm.
If he wasn't going to come in and say, hey, I know about this armored heist thing, And then later on, oh, it involves this guy you've been chasing for years. No, he would lead with that. He wouldn't wait. So, yeah. But yeah, it's funny.
And what Fancy does is, as they go forward with the car heist, they're going to get fake ammunition, so on and so forth. The best part is he gets Haverhill on tape. Not only giving his whole plan to Vinny, but also implying that he wants Sipowicz's job and calling Fancy the N-word.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, Haverhill is such a dunce that he said all of the wrong things. And Fancy not only caught that something was going on. Fancy gets this tape and he doesn't do what most of us would do, which is, okay, well, let's go to him right now. Like, I feel like most people, like, if Sipowicz got it, or, like, one of these other guys got it, they'd immediately go to him and be like, I got this tape, you're out of here. Fancy...
Oh, no way. I think you gotta hold on to it. You gotta play, you gotta find the right time.
And Fancy has the right time, like, right away. He goes, as soon as this armored car heist thing is through, I'm gonna nail him. And Sipowicz not only goes, like, sure, he goes, fuck yeah.
This is like one of the first times you get to see Sipowicz and Fancy rooting with each other over somebody. Normally they're kind of different, I feel like, when it comes to people, but this time they both have a mutual hatred. Mm-hmm. And so they both like kind of bond over it, which is kind of interesting.
Now on the case that Simone caught with the guy that could be Webster.
Yeah.
It turns out
they find a guy in the car.
Of the
dead girl.
Well, we only talked about the guy so far. They found a guy who.
That's right.
And his note says, "When you'll find the rest of my note when you find the rest of this couple," and they find that couple. Well, they find the woman in a car, dead, strangled, stabbed, and at this point we've met her father, who's a very rich man.
And then they find another note.
Another note, him admitting, like, oh, I murdered these people, I'm back, and now it's a serial killer situation. We also see the introduction of Benita. Her name is Benita? Was it Benita?
Yeah, Benita Aldrin.
And then Mr. Putnam?
Putnam?
Yeah, that's another thing. They find this car, he goes to run plates. Simone starts tracking down this other story because the guy cops to a murder that doesn't match his plan. So Simone starts looking through incidents in that area around that time and finds a guy who was shot in the ass, and he thinks, if this guy was shot by Webster and we can prove it, then
and
we have...
find a gun, yeah.
And then we have more murders to pin to him. Also, we have more evidence and more things to work with. In the process... they talk to a guy who's like, "Hey, can you give us the bullet in your ass, so we don't have to, so we don't have to tell your wife that you were with a woman," and the guy agrees to it. The funny bit of humor there is that guy won't be able to sit right, and they both know it.
Well, yeah, especially Sipowicz, because he was shot in the ass.
Both cheeks. He says that too. I've gotten the surgery. Both cheeks.
Doesn't he give him the ring?
Yeah, in the second episode, he shows up pissed off because he can't
sit.
He can't sit right, and then he's like, "This helped me with when I had my surgery," and hands him a donut. But as they're working all that out, as Simone is doing that extra legwork, this other guy, Solomon.
Well, they bring in there used to be a task force for it, and they never caught him because he stopped killing. So then they brought in the task force to quote unquote work together.
And all they were doing is saying, "Hey, you work on the stuff that happened today, because we don't think it is Webster, and we'll work on the Webster stuff." And Simone is doing all this legwork to prove his killings are bigger and maybe they have more to go on, and they get in the facts about George Putnam using the car that the girl was found in.
Yeah, and I forgot how they found out.
So that's the great thing. I think in a line of dialogue, Simone put in the request for any information on that car.
Uh-huh.
Then went out to take care of this guy and his bullet wound and his ass.
His bullet ass.
Came back. Yes, His bullet ass. He came back, and Solomon had already gotten the paperwork, and already got the guys together to be like, well, let's go get George Putnam, guys. Let's rip it and run it.
He got a ticket in the car, right?
Yeah, he got a ticket for a moving violation.
Yeah, and then he just bounced. And then when they find the guy, because they find the guy.
Yeah, that's one of the lines I wrote. They go to catch the guy. There's like three different groups of guys in cars, and the head cheese is like, "You're gonna go over here, and you're gonna go over here." I think it's Haverhill. He's like, "You're gonna go over here, and you're gonna go over here." He's like, "And Sipowicz and Simone, you guys are gonna cover the alleyway." And then Sipowicz says, "Are you sure you don't want us to go over to the Port Authority in case he escapes by bus?"
And then the head guy gives Sipowicz a kind of a look.
And that one line, I think, and maybe I'm overstepping my bounds and knowledge of NYPD Blue here, that tells me Sipowicz is the type of experienced that even the head cheeses will take that from Sipowicz because he has a record. Does that make sense? Like, he has a record of doing good, so even the head cheeses are like, that's just Sipowicz being Sipowicz, but we can't really get on him because then we lose those cases being cleared. Because
I don't know.
Because even other, because
I feel like sometimes, because I feel like with someone like that, I would be more like, geez, drink much?
Well, gotta stay hydrated.
You gotta make all that noise. So like instead of like start, because like I think once the head cheese heard him say that, the head cheese was thought for a second like, okay, I can't. So that's why he kind of like rolls his eyes, because he's like, I can't fucking deal with this right now. We're about to try to arrest this guy who we think has killed multiple people. Like, and Sipowicz is being an asshole. Like, I'm not dealing with this right now.
Fair. I just because there's so many characters that come into the 15th,
but then they end up arresting the guy. They're the ones that put the cuffs on him.
Because he comes out the fire escape, and at one point he's like, "Do you want to just come down, or do you want to come down with a bullet in you?"
And this Solomon guy, does he have a boner the whole time? Because he walks super weird.
He's also just a dick, period.
Yeah, he, like, comes in super hot, like, just with too much going on.
Well,
he needed to bring it, dial it back a couple degrees.
I mean, I don't want to question his manhood. I think what happened is he saw that young buck Simone, and he immediately got a little jealous. Swooping in on his case. He's obviously got a good head on his shoulders. He's very attractive.
Mm-hmm. Can we see him fucking the reporter?
does he bone her at the end of this?
I don't know. They pretty much established that they were gonna bone from when they said hello to each other.
Yeah, that's a pretty safe bet. Okay, so they bring the guy back to the house. George Putnam.
Yeah, bring him back to the end of the, but Sipowicz and Simone aren't supposed to interview him till Solomon gets there.
Well, it's also Simone, because it's technically Simone's case. Sipowicz isn't even involved. He just is there to help.
Yeah.
Because Sipowicz's case is the armored car heist, and they have to wait until those guys are ready. So Sipowicz is just kind of helping out Simone. And Simone is there in the room, but he can't do anything.
Yeah, he can't talk to him. He can't say anything, because the Solomon guy's got to build a rapport.
He said he got to build a rapport, and he also said, I got to work a sequence.
Yeah.
I'm working a sequence.
We're in a sequence. I'm a dildo.
And I don't know if it's this episode or the next episode. No, it is. I think it's the next episode, so I won't talk about it. But it's clear that this episode, if nothing, highlights the bureaucracy and the stupidity of different branches of law enforcement forcing to work together on something stupid.
Yeah, because it's all competition-based. It's who did it. Who was the man. Whose dick be swanging, you know what I mean? So
that's right, and so, it's all about whose dick
may
swing.
Big dick contest. Because as we watch it evolve, like what that Solomon gets mad because that motherfucker talks to him. Simone's mad because he won't listen to him. So like they just like who's got the bigger dick, and then you see that Solomon guy go, "Is this my case or not?" And well, then let's go.
Well, that's another thing that was so weird. This murder, the murders that happened today admit to the murder that happened previously. So then Simone says to Solomon, I'm going to work information regarding the case that the guy admitted to in the notes. And the guy says, that's not an aspect of your investigation. You're only supposed to take care of the murders that happened today. When it's like, dude, it's mentioned in the note from the murders I had today. Like, I think I have a right to investigate it. It's like, how about you fucking relax?
Yeah, no.
So like, the stupidity there, and then right from the very beginning, George Putnam is like, well, he's a weirdo. I mean, that's pretty fair and safe to say.
He's a super weirdo.
He's played by Tim Dzarn, and Tim Dzarn is pretty much killing it as a weirdo.
He's really good. He has like a really like creepy vibe right off the bat.
And
just
so
when they're answering like simple questions.
But one thing that Simone does is he gets him to agree that he stole the car.
Yeah. Simone got him into the car, which is a big deal.
Because even if the guy won't admit to knowing anything about the girl, he is in a car with a dead girl.
The dead body was with him. So he can at least... Yeah.
So they can start from there. That's when I think Solomon goes, like, hey, bro, this is my case. Like, I need to do this, and you need to just step back, which is like, dude, I'm making headway, I'm making progress, why don't you just let it happen?
But
that's going to bleed into the next episode, so it's not resolved, really.
Yeah, they just kind of, they're setting it up, like, they're setting up the showdown.
Between Solomon and Simone, but also George Putnam.
And those guys, yeah.
Towards the end of this episode, it's hinted at earlier, there's going to be a meeting between Sipowicz, Sylvia, and Andy Jr.
Yeah. Is this the meeting? Yeah, he's all worried about it.
He's worried about it because he doesn't know how his son's going to react.
Yeah.
And it turns out,
to seeing Sylvia living together.
Yeah, they're basically living in the same. They're cohabitating, and the son doesn't know that, and he doesn't know how he's going to react.
Yeah.
Which, what's very strange also about that situation is his son is also nervous because his son is going to mention that he's going into the Air Force.
Yeah.
So, like, his son is not even worried about that. He's worried about saying, hey, I'm going to be going into the Air Force. I don't know where I'm going, and it's in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and he didn't get his dad's permission.
Which, I don't, like, he didn't get his dad's permission, but, like, it seems like Sipowicz is more than cool with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just kind of annoyed at the timing. Like, he didn't tell him sooner. That's, like, the only thing that seems like a negative about the story.
Yeah, I can see that.
Another thing that happens in this episode, which is an obvious clear setup for what's going to happen later, the father of the female victim tells Simone, I'll pay you $1 million to kill.
Yeah, he solicits him in a weird way. It gets really awkward really quick. But this guy is a total... like, white person problem from the get-go. Like, woe is me, I'm white, try to fix everything with money type thing.
He sits there and says, I'll pay anyone $1 million to kill him. And Simone is doing the, hey man, this isn't the right way to go.
Are you sure you want to do that right now type thing. Yeah, it was weird. He was a weirdo. And then Lesniak is still fucking dealing with that dude who keeps showing her his balls.
Yeah,
he keeps pulling his pants down, and then Sylvia gets involved, and then like in the meeting, the dude pulls his boner out. I guess.
Yeah,
I can't help it.
I think that they thought it was a lot funnier than.
Yeah.
I think it plays now like a guy who is a serial flasher, who when he gets into the room, he becomes very monotone and like, oh, I deserve this. I'm a monster. To me, it seems like another rich dude who thinks he can just.
Yeah, he's got a problem, and he needs to get it fixed. Get it figured out.
At the end of this episode, Bobby meets up with the dad again, and basically just tries to console him.
Yeah.
But, like, we know, because we've seen the episode of where it goes. Also, Sylvia and Andy get engaged, kind of in the weirdest way possible.
Yeah.
They're just in the kitchen.
Doing the dishes.
And she just goes, ask me again, and then they're engaged, and then the episode ends.
Yeah, that was really weird.
And it's also clear that Bobby and Benita are, at the end of that episode, are gonna be dating. They just don't know when.
Yeah. Yeah. Bobby Simone's just fucking everything.
No, he isn't. He's getting over. He's still getting over his wife's death. He's not. He's not back in yet.
No, he's back in.
He'll get there.
He's back in.
I disagree. I don't think so.
He's back in, sir.
Anything about this episode you wanted to say?
No, it's just good.
It is good.
This one's a good one. I like the ones where they have the stories last two episodes.
Yeah.
They do a good job with that.
Every single episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com or where you find podcasts. I would say watch more NYPD Blue, get more of that into your life. Kyle, is there anything you'd like to say before we head out?
Yeah, I got a beef with the show How I Met Your Mother.
Okay, explain.
I'm on the last season, and it's worse than Lost. Like, it's the same shit. Like, how can... It's just dumb. Don't watch it. It was cool in the beginning because it had those... It had those, like, Seinfeld-esque episodes where it would talk about, like a friend, like what you do in your friend group, right? It's mm-hmm. like a common thing, like, but they made it into an episode. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like the yada yada yada, and then the shit like that. Like, but they made it, the shit like that. They made it into an episode. In the beginning, they had like fun little things like that, but the storyline's just fucking stupid. Oh my god! It's like how many times Ted, Robin, Robin, Ted, Robin, Barney, Barney, Robin, Barney, fucking everyone. Like Robin's cool with that, but then Ted like. Have Cupid blow him, and it's like, oh my god, like, it's so stupid.
All right,
so bad.
Watch
so
NYPD, watch NYPD Blue, and don't watch How I Met Your Mother.
Sorry, it's been bothering me for a long time.